Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
It's time for Cinema Savants.
Are we online?
Yes!
Your weekly source for movie news.
You said that like it explains why there's a total stranger sitting in the dark in my second favorite chair.
Movie reviews.
Oh, yes! I hate this! It is revolting!
More?
Please.
And the occasional Hollywood rumor.
Wow, nice suit! Zip it, Stanley!
Hosted by Todd Vandenberg.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. If you shoot him, you'll just make him mad.
And Rob Steele.
I can't speak for the other guys, but I'm in it for the money. I don't care if you go to jail.
When someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes!
And that's when I shot him, Your Honor.
Welcome to another Calliopean episode of Cinema Savant. See, I told you I'd work that word in. I'm going to make Elle very happy. Your weekly dose of movie news and other assorted stuff that happens to pop up. He's Todd Vandenberg. I'm Danny Rand, because kicking butt in slow motion is still kicking butt. So there, damn it. I would actually like to start off with an apology, because I screwed up something last week, because it was something I hadn't seen in years, but we were talking about the Gong Show. And I did put the clip up on the website of Oingo Boingo on the Gong Show, but I was wrong. It wasn't Danny Elfman in a bathtub. It was his brother Richard Elfman in kind of this cardboard rocket thing. Oops. I'm not sure that that's going to make any more sense if you watch it, because it is one of the most bizarre things you're ever going to see anyway.
And it doesn't matter
on the
which
website.
One it is, does it?
Probably not. It's on the website, cinemasavants.com. And yes, I pulled it from YouTube. I'm not stealing it. I'm borrowing it from YouTube, who stole it from a videotape from 1976 or something. Yeah. So there.
Borrow it from Google. They can afford it.
Exactly. Other things I borrowed would be a stinger, which I'm just going to go ahead and play, because we're just going to go right straight into the good, the bad, and the whatever. I'm going to try to change it every week just because. Starting off this week, the good, allegedly. I cannot verify this, but all the quotes I've seen on it are good. Pirates of the Caribbean 5, the unnecessary sequel, apparently, I don't know, hit screens this week for critics. It opens in 2 months on May 26th. And this time, as opposed to any of the other Pirates of the Caribbean sequels, this one they claim looks good. Quote from... the biggest quote so far is from a guy named Jermaine Lucier, who he's a critic, I guess. I don't know who the hell the guy is. But his quote was, Pirates 5 is definitely the best one since the first one. Admittedly, that isn't saying much, but it does occasionally capture that magic. So did Pirates 5 in the trailer, and boy, do we have trailers this week. Did the trailer bring you in, make you interested in seeing this?
Yeah, the trailer actually did make me a little more interested, because I had not seen... I saw the first three. First one is wonderfully entertaining. It's a popcorn film.
Absolutely.
Second one is like, eh. And the third one was like, wow, I'm not watching these anymore. So, yeah, I think I only saw like part of the third one at that point. Didn't bother with the fourth. I wasn't even aware what number they were at. That's how little interest I have in it at this point. But yeah, the trailer looks really good. The title actually stands out, because I couldn't tell you what the titles of the last three were, honestly. Dead Men Tell No Tales.
I'm not sure I remember.
So yeah, and even though the trailer does have the kind of, which we're seeing in a lot more films, they have the youthed up version of Johnny Depp, because it recalls early adventures, and it does look a little odd, but hopefully that section doesn't last long, or they don't linger too much on him as the young character, because they're not there yet where
no
it's completely interchangeable. with actual footage. So, but again, as long as it's not on screen too long, fine. But the trailer looks very exciting, looks very interesting. Nice cast.
Yeah,
I mean it's hard to go wrong with Javier Bardem as a as anything, but as a bad guy, he's fun. He chews up scenery like Godzilla, and I love it. He's so fun to watch. He is so fun to watch.
You mentioned good casts. That goes into the next thing I've got: Mission Impossible 6, because
yes,
there's numbers. They added Henry Cavill, Sean Brooke, and Vanessa Kirby, which sounds like a good thing, but they lost Jeremy Renner,
right?
Who is not going to be in Mission Impossible 6 because he's going to be doing Hawkeye, his Avengers character, yet again in the Ant-Man and the Wasp. I think that's a good thing because Jeremy Renner is – I think he's gotten too big for the Mission Impossible movies as one of the sidekicks.
Yeah.
That was my feeling of it.
You know,
Henry Cavill, who's Superman, but, you know, anyway.
Has Henry Cavill been – do you think Henry Cavill has been interesting in anything other than the Superman? And that's assuming he's interesting as Superman, but has he made a dent in any other role other than Superman?
I can't think of any other role other than Superman at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, he was in the extremely underwhelming Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, that was him, wasn't it?
With another guy who keeps on getting cast in films and is underwhelmed, Armie Hammer, the guy who killed
Chris
the Lone Ranger.
Chris Pine.
Should have been Chris Hardwick. Yeah, I mean, it's just... He
might have worked better.
To have... Neither Armie Hammer or Cavill, for me, just they don't seem to have much screen presence, despite their big, burly manliness, but they just don't seem to have it.
No.
Which Tom Cruise undeniably is it.
He has too much it, which is very strange for someone so short.
A lot of times he has way too much it. But
I'm sorry, was that out loud?
Possibly.
But my last thing in the good category, and I found this just for you. So I saw it and went, oh, that's nice. No, hang on a minute. Todd's going to love this. Because coming soon is going to be the Big Trouble in Little China board game.
And you know I'm on the wait list. You know I already have subscribed. Oh, of course.
Okay.
Absolutely.
If you haven't seen the movie, you need to get out from under the rock more often.
Yeah.
It is a spectacularly fun movie, and the game that they're making out of this looks beautiful.
It does. It really does.
I somehow missed that they had started putting it on one of those I have lost the name thing where you send the money websites.
Kickstarter, one of those things.
Thank
yeah.
you. So, it's like it has to do with martial arts and your feet. It's called a kick. Hello. Son of a. Anyway.
It's a money dojo.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, this looks like a beautiful game, and if you want to pick it up, apparently there's places where you can pre-order it or get on the waiting list anyway. So,
to remind people in this, like you said, if you haven't seen it yet, you probably have been under a rock. This is a movie that the Lifetime box office was $11 million. Not a huge hit when it came out. But
I
want to
know what it is. I
want to
know how much it's made now that it's out on, you know, your videos.
Yeah.
You could get this on VHS back
to find that. Because it's got to have made, I would guess it's made 4 or 5 times that in various video releases and rights and all the rest of it. So
easily.
The tabletop game will probably make almost as much as the movie did. My God.
That is entirely possible.
But Yeah, I'm super excited for that. Because like you said, it looks beautiful. I mean, the fact that you can replay the storyline as any one of several characters and then go on new adventures. No. I'm just hoping they do a good job. And if they didn't, it'll look awesome anyway. So, very, very cool. That is definitely a big good from the good to the bad.
Unfortunately, this has a bit of a segue to it because Big Trouble in Little China came out quite some time ago.
It did indeed.
But not as much as this. This is our bad of the week. There's really only one thing that hit me, and that was a reunion picture from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It made the circulation, all the surviving members of the cast, except the original Aunt Vivian, who had a cow or something, got together on a boat, whatever. Normally, I wouldn't bring that up. What hit me on this was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air ended 21 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I put it in the bad category. Holy crap, I'm that old.
I am shocked. 21 years. That doesn't
sound possible.
Oh,
no.
Mm-mm.
But it was. So, damn. Moving on to the weird, because this one is weird, and I'm not really sure what to make of it. The Fate of the Furious, which is, what is it, the eighth of the Fast and the Furious franchise. Mm-hmm. Say that three or four times real quick. Not going to happen anyway.
Fate of the Eighth.
They're doing all the press junkets and everything, but The Rock and Vin Diesel, who are the two big stars of the movie, are being kept apart because apparently they're feuding. I just think that's weird. I don't know that, it's not good. It's not bad. It's just kind of,
That sounds suspiciously fake. As in mirroring the plot of the film, so
that's what I was thinking.
What would they be feuding about? I understand.
There's a rumor that the Rock, who is always prim, proper, and professional, got upset with Diesel for showing up late off a lot during the filming, and apparently the Rock put something on Twitter, which. Twitter is turning into a really bad idea, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. For a lot of people.
And that led
to governments.
That led to them having a fight or something. And now they're not allowed to talk to each other at the premiere. You know what? Whatever. I wasn't that interested in seeing that movie anyway.
Considering I've seen parts of two of them, I'm not happy with this one either. And
I saw the Fast and the Furious 3 twice, but that's only because it was an 8-hour flight.
Is that the one that doesn't really belong? Is that Tokyo Drift?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So you saw the one that doesn't even belong to the sequence, really. Awesome. That's good.
However, there was literally nothing else to choose on the flight. So, okay, I'll watch this again.
Yeah, that's kind of horrifying.
Yes, it was. But wanted to ask you this too. Going into the trailers, because I mentioned earlier there's a lot of trailers this week. One that hit me as being probably the most beautiful looking was a movie called Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets. And the trailer, it looks spectacular.
Does.
But the storyline seems to fall into what I'm going to call the Dark Knight Returns plot hole, which is basically the universe is going to end unless the two of you stop it. Well, where the hell is everybody? If the universe is going to end, send more than two people. Where is everybody else? They're busy with other things. Well, what the hell else can be more busy than the universe ending?
Yep.
You know, we're just sending the two of you. Send everybody. That's all I'm saying. That's it's. I suppose I'm being. Am I being picky? Or does that make sense?
Nope.
I don't know.
That makes total sense. And again, this is from Luc Besson, who's done some really cool movies. People may remember little flashy things like The Fifth Element, which also is really, really old at this point. Yeah. He wrote Kiss of the Dragon, which is an excellent film. The District B-13, which is a very strange flick, but definitely a good flick. He's been involved in a few of the Transporter films off and on. Man, he's doing like 10,000 films lately, but he definitely makes very cool, flashy Lucy, which I thought was is flawed, but it was very cool to look at, and it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
So he's done some really cool films, absolutely. Like you said, it'll be awesome to look at. It'll be interesting if it's if your head is in one piece after you walk out of the theater, because will it make sense? Because I'm not sure if it'll make sense, but it's going to certainly be a treat for the eyes, and it won't be bad. He doesn't make bad movies. At worst, he makes interesting failures. Like, at worst. Oh, yeah, I forgot he did The Big Blue, which is a very cool movie, too, about free diving. Not free bird, but free diving. But very cool films, and they always look very interesting. He tries to do something different, which that I absolutely like. So it'll be fun. It will be fun.
I think so. There's actually another couple of movies that came out trailers that came out for movies that look like they're going to be good. I think the big trailer that came out this week was for Stephen King's It.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not my genre, but I was sufficiently freaked by the trailer. I think it looks good. Admittedly, I have not seen the one with Tim Curry. So I do not know how to compare this. My daughter, however, is an enormous horror movie fan and looked at the new trailer and went, it's not as good as the old one. I'm like, oh, okay. So maybe we'll have her on the show doing a review of that movie sometime.
That would be fun. Yeah, the trailer certainly has me looking forward to it. I thought the TV's it was in two parts, TV show originally. Pardon me, as I clear my throat off. Hopefully off mic, but the ending sucked in the original version.
Yeah.
Because the ending sucked.
That's what I heard.
It's a terrible ending. I think Steve had gotten to page 1016 and just thought, yeah, I'm tired of this. I'm just going to put a turtle at the end. Spoiler alert, there's a turtle at the end. And I'm sorry, the book's been out for like 500 years and the movie's been out for 300 or 400. So I have a feeling they're going to change the ending. Because if he doesn't change the ending, I'm going to write him, seriously, I'm going to write him snail mail and ask for a refund for the movie, because he's had a few decades to fix the ending, because the ending is stupid and it sucks. And no, I don't give a shit that it's like, oh, well, this is based on Hindu philosophy. Shut up. Just give us an ending that's not terrible. So I'm sure it will be a different ending. But the previews looks very scary. That's the whole point of a Stephen King thing. And even if he doesn't fix the ending, it'll still be a fun ride until the end. And then you walk out and saying, why did he end it that way? I'm looking forward to it.
It got to be a bit freakier for me, because the kid who's doing the You'll Float Too thing in the trailer.
Yeah.
I think he lives up the street from me. so that, you know, when I take my daughter, my youngest daughter, to the bus stop in the morning, you know, there's a bunch of other kids there, and we, you know, there's a few of us parents who try to keep them in line, try to keep Patrick from yelling too much. But one of the kids there, I think he's this kid from this movie, which is just, you know, a little bit on the freaky side.
He has a thing for really creepy, odd kids. He specializes in that. And in a lot of Japan horror, they specialize in creepy dead kids whose hair is black and floats all the time. But, yeah, he seems to enjoy having really creepy kids that are terrifying. Even when they're good kids, sometimes they're kind of terrifying, like Danny in The Shining. He wasn't evil, but he was scary as hell. So, yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. Oh, jeez, yeah. Just a tad.
Actually, because you brought it up, have you seen the Hanna-Barbera version of The Shining with was it Jinx the cat and Pixie and Dixie the mice?
Yes. He told me about this. We talked about that a few months ago, and he said, okay, you can find it. He sent me.
I couldn't remember if I had it or not.
Sent me the clip.
I'll find
oh my gosh.
Put it on the website.
Hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
In lighter news, another trailer that hit this week was the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer, which, again, makes this movie look like they finally got Spider-Man right. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah.
But there is a tinge of bad news that comes with it. As Sony, who still owns the rights to Spider-Man, they're just kind of letting Marvel apparently borrow him. They're moving on with a Venom movie and a Black Cat and Silver Sable movie, which I think is a waste because no one knows who the hell they are because they haven't been in a Spider-Man movie yet.
Exactly.
But the... I'm trying to remember, figure out who it was that said this. Amy Pascal, who is the head of Sony Movies, has said that this collaboration between Sony and Marvel is probably going to end after Spider-Man 2, which we already knew there was going to be a sequel anyway. But once Spider-Man 2 is done, he will no longer be in the Marvel Comics Universe movies. He'll go off back to Sony and do his own universe things. I'm not terribly pleased with that. I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, is she still head of Sony or is she head of the, I can't remember which way it went. She's either head of the production company or she was head of Sony. I think she was head of Sony. Now she's head of the production company.
She produced Spider-Man and is the former chief of Sony Pictures.
Right. Either way, she is in. This is actually even worse because she's a producer of these films. And,
right.
Boy, could you come up with a more stupid idea? Because, granted, the Spider-Man flick hasn't hit yet, so we don't know if it worked. We know that Tom Holland and the way they wrote the character really, really worked in the Marvel film.
Yes.
And as long as they listen to Marvel and paid attention to the script doctors, they should have a really good movie. So why would you go back to good movies, maybe one great movie, and then crap fests when you got the kid gift wrapped? And I understand, okay, because Marvel's taking their cut. I'm sure they're taking a nice hefty cut of the Sony. So what? Do you want a nice hefty cut of $1 billion or do you want your entire $270 million when your new crap fest tanks? Because that's what's going to happen if they don't pay attention to Marvel or if they just hire somebody from Marvel who's written for them and go ahead and do your own, but pay attention to what they're doing. And for God's sakes, Silver Sable, really?
Wow.
The issue is not... at all. Oh, you can't do a female-based film, blah, blah, blah. Of course you can. Of course you can. But it would be good to have one that's not secondary characters. That's crazy.
I'm not even sure Silver Sable is a secondary character. I'm going, you know,
correct,
tertiary or beyond.
She's Calliopean.
Thank you for that word, L.
Yeah, that announcement made no sense to me. Like you said, if they show up in a Spider-Man film and then you want to go off, okay, fine. But, wow.
I would rather they take, the Forces, I Am One with the Force is with me. Take him and Weapons Guy, make a trailer or a movie out of them before you get to Silver Sable.
Yeah, I know.
I realize I just went to Fox, but that's not the point.
Yes. That isn't the point. And, I don't know. It's, sometimes you wonder, is like, have you people like paid attention to what's happening in the market in the past 10 years or 20 years? Because, man, they make some weird, weird decisions.
My guess would be no.
Yeah, no kidding.
Actually, there were two other trailers that hit that apparently I missed. Oops. What was it? You mentioned Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde. Looks very cool.
Another Charlize Theron movie?
Another Charlize Theron film where she is a badass, basically. And this takes place during the Cold War. She's an undercover agent for MI6, and she's sent to Berlin during the Cold War. And so basically, she's kind of James Bond, but with more kick-ass. And I have not seen the Red Band trailer. I have seen the regular trailer, which is full of cool action. But if there's a Red Band trailer, that means it's full of one or possibly both. There's sexy parts, which would be fun. Or there's extreme bloodletting, which would also be fun because it's a kind of film. I'm all aboard. She's fun to watch. I mean, I think she's a great actress. And it comes through even in films like this. Also has James McAvoy. That's kind of cool. So Atomic Blonde, that is supposed to come out in July. The other trailer, which I had not heard a thing about until this trailer popped up in front of Beauty and the Beast, of all things, which is a strange trailer to run in front of Beauty and the Beast. Baby Driver. It's another film by Edgar Wright, who's done some amazingly funny, strange flicks. The cast of this thing, Edgar Wright, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, those things. The Cringe Trilogy. So he's done some awesome films. But this guy is, if some people may remember, there's a film called Driver way, way back in the day. He's basically a driver for, a getaway driver for whatever types of criminals. Some of the cast members include John Hamm, Kevin Spacey, John Barenthal, also known as the new and awesome Punisher in the Marvel Netflix universe. Jamie Foxx, Flea. I mean, and the trailer looks
Of the Red Hot Chili Peppers Flea.
Yes, of the Red Hot Chili Peppers Flea, exactly.
Of course.
Character's name, Baby Driver, he's a driver, and his name is Baby. His girlfriend's name is Darling. Some of the characters' names are Doc, Buddy, and Bats. So, some really strange.
Wow.
Yeah. Really, really strange. The clips look really fun. I mean, Kevin Spacey is in his mode where he's playing the rat bastard criminal boss, which he likes to do. The lead actor is a gentleman by the name of Ansel Elgort, who I've never heard of before. But he plays Baby. Ah, that's why I didn't know him, because he was the lead in The Fault in Our Stars, which there was no way in hell I was watching that sob fest.
Right.
So, however, and he was in the Divergent series, which is more YA films that I'm not about to watch. So, but the guy has been around, and he's done some work. But the clips look so fun. They look so cool. Just looks like it's really going to be fun. Yeah, and obviously he's a driver and he's trying to get out of, and they draw him back in, that kind of a deal. But it looks like it'll be really fun. That cast just looks great.
What, like John Wick? Bring him back in? Yeah. My brief John Wick news is that it's coming out on digital HD on May 23rd, and DVD and Blu-ray and everything else on June 13th. There's our John Wick news for the week.
Woohoo!
See, worked that in somehow. Gradually, I wasn't sure where to put it. No, I'm looking at some of the you're right. So I'm looking at the names of the characters in Baby Driver. And we've got Darling, Griff, Doc, Buddy, Baby, Bats, Army, and Frat Boy.
So strange. So strange.
Which, it actually... I'm going to throw this out because this it kind of goes into the weird movie title of the week that I came across, and I know I've come I know I've mentioned a few of them before. I don't actually have one every week, but I try to. And I found several websites this week that claim to have a list of bad movie names, but they're not. Names like We Bought a Zoo. that's a horrible movie name, even though that's actually exactly what the movie is about.
Possibly one of the best movie titles ever. That's the plot.
Just cut it. Hey, now you know what it's about. I saw one that had that said The Godfather is a horrible name. I'm like, really? Are you
okay?
Now, a lot of them are just, they're stupid movies, therefore they have stupid titles, such as
right.
Dude, Where's My Car? I'm there with that, but if you see that, you know it's going to be a stupid movie. But right. The stupid title I came across, technically it's a movie that was never made, thankfully. Yeah. I think it might be because someone looked at the title and went, no. And the original wasn't that good either. It was this was going to be a sequel to Shark Boy and Lava Girl, which eventually that title does roll off the tongue. The movie will stick in your head and, sit heavily on your stomach and make you nauseous. It's not that good a movie. But the sequel was allegedly going to be called, and this is your weird movie title of the week, Barracuda Lad and Earthquake Lady.
Surely that was going to be on Sci-Fi.
That doesn't flow at all whatsoever.
No, that's awful.
It's horrible.
That is horrible. That's totally horrible.
So
while we're on the topic of weird titles, let me look at some quick, not weird titles, but a lot of titles that are coming in April, which is manana to Netflix, Prime, yep. etc. It's an interesting list. It's compiled by four people on Slate. Slate is a great site. But it's interesting. This is why you should listen to more shows than us or get more sources than us, because people do have different ideas of
perspective.
What's good. For instance, under Netflix, the only thing listed as a must-watch is Schindler's List. That's a must-watch. I agree. Tropic Thunder is a good watch. Tropic Thunder, I'm sorry, is a must-watch. Very different, obviously, from Schindler's List, but that's a must-watch. Family Watch, Kubo and the Two Strings. No. That's a must-watch. That is absolutely
a
must-watch. They have two versions of two sequels to An American Tale. Five Goes West and An American Tale, The Mystery of the Night Monster. Like, really? They're in there with Family Watch? Yeah, they're Family Watch, but don't put Kubo and the Two Strings with those movies, okay? That's not how it works.
I heard about Five Goes West. I had no idea there was a third one.
Yeah. Across the Universe comes under If You're Bored. Across the Universe, I just talked about it last week. That's a great musical based on The Beatles songs. The Prestige, that's not a movie to watch if you're bored. And a Richard Pryor. Yeah, it's a very good movie. And a Richard Pryor special. There are no Richard Pryor specials that are to be watched if you're bored. Those are must-watches. So jumping to HBO, they have a few must-watches. I get all the must-watches. However, a good watch is The Deer Hunter. The Deer Hunter is not a must
yes.
watch, but Crimson Tide is like, okay, what are you guys doing? I don't understand that at all. But still, so some cool things
on
coming.
Could the Crimson Tide have been any more of a ripoff than of the Hunt for Red October?
No, I don't see how it could have
yeah.
been.
Check.
Going to Amazon Prime, Election, which is a very cool movie. There will be Blood, which is really good. Okay, blah blah blah. RoboCop is coming.
Amazon
there
Prime.
Are some Amazon Prime.
I can throw this out real quick. One of the shows that I really enjoyed on it, because I love the hell out of the Top Gear UK guys mm-hmm. who are now doing the Grand Tour. There was news, I think it was last week actually, of Richard Hammond was actually in yet another big accident. Wrecked a motorcycle and landed on his head. But don't panic. He's fine. He's actually done several press conferences since then. He's had a concussion, but he'll live. He didn't die or anything. Actually, do you know about his first big wreck? Just to throw this
vaguely,
out.
But go ahead and throw that out there.
He was back when he was doing Top Gear, they did a thing where they said, well, let's see if he can drive a car called the Vampire, which was really just a jet engine with an afterburner on wheels.
God.
It, seriously, that's all it is. And you can find this on, I think you can probably still find this on YouTube. But as he was driving it at, I think it was clocked at 288 miles an hour when one of the tires blew.
Oh, my God.
And it flipped the car, and he was hospitalized for quite a while. But he, you know, he came back. He's fine. And I loved this. They asked him on the show when he came back, how different are you now than you were before the crash? And he said, well, I now like celery. And that is the extent of the changes. And I thought, that's so Richard Hammond. It fits. It's a wonderful thing. So, yes, he was in a new accident involving a motorcycle, was not wearing a helmet. He will from now on. But he's fine. Don't panic. There will be new shows. They're forthcoming.
Very, very scary.
Very scary.
And back to over to Hulu. Hulu has some cool stuff. The Babadook, which is a very cool horror film. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I can't imagine that there's anyone on the planet yet who has not seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But there you go. It's there. Thelma Louise and the Suspects. Pardon?
Ferris Bueller, watch it again.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can watch all three RoboCop films if for some reason you want to punish yourself by watching a okay sequel and a god-awful sequel. Just watch the first one, and watch the first one three times. You'll be much better off doing that. But, yeah, a lot of cool things coming out. And The Handmaid's Tale, which is an original series coming to Hulu, which looks like it'll be very, very interesting. That doesn't come out until the end of April. So, I left this out. Return of the Living Dead 3, 4, and 5 will be on Hulu. Not Return of the Living Dead, which is a very cool, fun movie. Not Return of the Living Dead 2, which I didn't even know there was one, let alone 3, 4, and 5. So you can watch Return of the Living Dead 3, 4, and 5 and write us and tell us how wonderful they were, because we're not going to watch them.
That sounds like one of the movies I came across in the weird movie title list, which was... The Last Exorcism Part 2.
Yeah.
I thought, hang on a minute. If there was a Last Exorcism...
Good
point.
So
does that mean the first one was the next to Last Exorcism? What? I don't get
that.
Brilliant
point. Not quite as good as your point that you made. Oh, was it? I think it was 2 weeks ago, actually, when we were talking about that Alabama drive-in, who was up in arms and wasn't going to show Beauty and the Beast because there's a gay character. But it didn't bother them that the entire plot is about bestiality. So,
Hello.
Very strange. Very strange indeed. Speaking of Beauty and the Beast, of course, we are beginning the weekend, so we don't know what the weekend is actually going to be. But the prediction, Beauty and the Beast, just because it's been running so strong, had the fourth largest second weekend of all time. So they expect it will do quite well again this weekend. So they expect it to still be number one film, beating The Boss Baby, which is coming out. The Boss Baby.
Ghost in the Shell and Boss Baby.
And Ghost in the Shell, which Ghost in the Shell probably will do all right, but I don't think it's going to be a huge thing.
It's not going to be Beauty and the Beast.
No. And
I'll go ahead and say that.
No. And Life is really... falling apart, which, like I said, it's a decent movie. It's worth watching, but it's don't go to that film thinking you're going to see the new version of Alien, because you ain't. It's definitely worth watching. It's cool, but no, it's not Alien. It's not Alien, and it's not Aliens, which are two quite different films, which is an interesting take. How often do you have a sequel where, and I won't spend much time on this because we're trying to get out of here quick, but you have a straight, creepy, cramped horror film, which is Alien, set in outer space, and then you have this big, huge action film as the sequel. I can't think of many films where they completely change the tone of a film and yet absolutely make sense as a sequel. Very strange. I can't think of that happening too often.
I can't think of anything that changes that. The only thing I can think of that might have changed some of that would be like Highlander and Highlander 2. But that's not a good example of how to do. That's an example of how not to do it.
Right. And yeah, there's elements of horror, obviously, in Aliens, and there are action sequences in Alien, but still the tone is so different in those two films. Of course, two different directors. But it's weird that it worked. And it absolutely did. I mean, they're both, when we were talking about last week, neither one of them really did. For the time, they did good numbers, absolutely, but you know, you would think, oh, they must have made $250 million. No, they didn't even crack 100. Of course, it was different times back then, but if they were released now, yeah, they'd be making some coin. They'd be making Avatar money. Not surprisingly, since it's Cameron.
Well, yeah.
Not surprising at all. You had some, little bit of scuttlebutt about something in the DC movie universe, I believe, sir.
Oh, yes. Oh, you can do this one. I've babbled enough about this.
I would rather you do this
one. You wrote
it
down in the thing before I found it.
No, I think you'll do it much more justice. Let's go through it at the same time. I will introduce it, and then you will expound upon it. There is reported, like in Variety magazine and a lot of sources, that plans are afoot for a Batgirl standalone film, and Joss Whedon will direct it. Take it away,
sir. Which sounds like a brilliant idea.
And yeah.
This is another one of those, hey, look, here's a female superhero character that, oh, we just can't make a movie out of it. Yeah, you can. Batgirl has been an awesome character, although I do want to point this out because I saw this in, I saw this article in four different places. Well, actually, I saw it in more than that, but I read four of them, and they all had the same error in it, which was, Batgirl first appeared on the Adam West TV series in 1966. Okay, this is wrong on several levels. First off, she did not appear in that series until season 3, which would be 1968. I've got the DVDs. Before that, she actually did appear on TV in the animated series. That came out in 66. But if you want to be picky, she first appeared in Batman number 139, which came out in April of 1961. So there, damn it. If you're going to get your first appearances out there, get them right. Research your articles.
And that was Barbara Gordon as Batgirl, not some other person as Batgirl in 61?
There was a Batwoman before that. And
yeah,
there's a Batwoman now. Different Batwomen.
Right. Lots of Batwomen.
The first one was a love interest, but that changed.
Yeah, and this is the difference. This is the difference between having a film about Silver Sable and an iconic character. Batgirl is absolutely an iconic character. I mean,
absolutely.
She's as well known as maybe not as well known as Superman. Maybe. And I mean, like, there might be some far-flung group of people that live basically away from pop culture. But they still have heard of Superman somehow or Batman. Maybe they haven't heard of Batgirl. But I would say 95% of the population that's heard of Superman or Batman or Spider-Man, they've heard of Batgirl. I mean, absolutely, this is cool. The odd thing to me is this comes up when all this stuff is churning about the Batfleck film. You know, how far are they going to push it back? You know, he's not going to direct it. And now the guy who is going to play Deathstroke is out. And now all out of the blue, Joss Whedon comes up to potentially save them. And seriously, this could save the DC film universe. Because if Justice League comes out and it's more of the same of like Suicide Squad, and I'll just use Suicide Squad as an example, because Suicide Squad, for the expectations, I don't think Suicide Squad is that bad, because that's not a huge property for DC, and it's not a terrible movie. I mean, they made some really bad choices because it's Warner's and they make bad choices for some damn reason, but they enjoy doing that. They enjoy punishing themselves. But Joss Whedon could fix everything by making Batgirl. Because
look what he did for Marvel.
Exactly. Do you think Joss Whedon is going to make this grim, dark, Barbara Gordon doesn't get to smile. I mean, no, that is not going to happen.
Barbara Gordon has always smiled. No, she has to.
You know, and it can absolutely, she can turn into Oracle, spoiler alert, halfway through the film. It's still going to be a much more upbeat film with Joss Whedon.
Well, actually, they do that part of it. That part was depressing, but,
yeah.
You know, being picky. Again, because I'm like that. So, yeah, I think Joss Whedon doing a Batgirl movie would be spectacular and probably the best thing, one of the, I'm not going to say the best thing. I don't know what the best thing would be. Among the best things DC could do and Warner Brothers could do, give it to Whedon. I mean, you want to know if he does good female heroes? There's this little TV series called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And, I think that worked. Well, of course, I may be talking to myself now. I seem to have lost. Either I'm
exactly.
lost or Todd is lost. I'm not sure which. Oh,
lost.
There he is.
I was lost momentarily. Yeah, this is absolutely the best news since, well, since they got the reviews for the, I think, since they got the reviews for The Dark Knight. Honestly.
Yeah.
This is absolutely a home run for them. I have not seen anything about when this is potentially slated. I mean, they don't even have producers listed.
No.
So I don't know
if... This is still in the very, very early stages yet. The Batfleck movie has to come out before this because they haven't... You know, no one's signed. Whedon isn't signed to do this yet. It's just a massive rumor at this point, really. But it's a rumor that's been kicking around for a while.
Honestly, I would not wait for the Batfleck movie. I mean, if they're having trouble getting it together, it's like, get this thing going. I don't mean rush it and do a bad job. But if Whedon is available, if something else falls, because I don't know what is on his slate, so I don't know what he has lined up. He might not have time to do this until 2020 or 2023. Who knows? He knows, obviously. But, you know, if something falls through, because that happens all the time, get him going. I have no problem with them coming out with this as soon as they can. I mean, obviously, they will have several films out in the interim. Justice League will have been out. Wonder Woman will have been out. Aquaman will have been out. So, you know, they'll have had plenty of an opportunity to really continue to soil the territory. Hopefully they won't. But even if the next three movies are really, really good, and I hope they are.
Yeah.
This is still going to be so big for them. So this is great
I think
news.
It's good idea. Very happy. I'm waffling because I've run out of stuff.
Well, I'm waffling at all because I've run out of stuff too,
oh.
And I think we're ready to go.
Pancaking. That's what I'm doing. I've pancaked.
Do you have anything at all? I don't.
No, I don't. It's because we're going early. Because usually, you know, something happens on the weekend. I can go, hey, I'll throw this in the show.
Exactly.
We're not to the weekend yet. We're going early, and you can blame me for that. And if
I do have one thing.
On Sunday at our regular time, blame me. It's my fault.
And I do have one thing. And luckily, we are doing the show on a Friday, which doesn't mean anything
yes.
to you because most likely you're listening to this recorded. But we were doing this on a Friday early in the weekend, which allows me to go to my local cinema on Sunday night at 7 p.m. and see North by Northwest on the big screen. That has me very excited. It's a very, very cool movie. It scored, the critic's score on Rotten Tomatoes is 100%. Yes, it's an old film. It's from the 50s. Who cares? It's an awesome, awesome, fun movie. It's a thriller, kind of a mystery, but it's just a super fun, big, splashy movie. And we'll have you kind of guessing what's going to happen next. You know what's happening all the time. Basically, the audience knows that's happening. Everybody knows what's happening, except for the lead character played by Cary Grant, and that's the fun of it. So North by Northwest, see that if you're near you, it's playing on Sunday and Wednesday only. And that's all I got.
I think I may have something to do. Yeah. Well, you know, you've got other shows coming up next week, even tomorrow.
We have a show coming up tomorrow, baseball, beer, and barbecue. with Lee. Ted won't be there because Ted is actually being a decent human and taking care of people in his communities because Ted is a good person, unlike myself and Lee. So we'll be on the show. And then later on in the week, there will be Cover 32 Seahawks show on Tuesdays, and Ted will have late night parents again. He's got some really, really cool shows coming up, very amazing shows. So look for late night parents also. And you, sir?
Well, we do. We are going to have a new episode of the FWAT show on Monday on the COYL Entertainment Network, COYL. Entertainment Network is spelled the way you think it would. Put a .com at the end. There's lots of good shows on it, including Wednesday when we have another episode of Two Pages of Mystery. And in this episode, as if getting engaged isn't enough, Evan Sakata is killed in by a most unusual weapon right after proposing. Which means it's up to Lieutenant Cooper Wright to find out what happened in a story called Stairway to Nirvana. It's going to be a fun show.
That's
and it includes
cool.
another one of L. Shepard's vocabulary words. And if you don't know who she is, tune into the COYL Entertainment Network. Listen to The Witching Hour. That's her show. But every so often she throws vocabulary words at me and says, use these somewhere. I'm like, oh, okay. So I do.
Hence the Calipan show tonight.
That's it. Blame L.
Goodbye.
For that. Have a nice week, everybody.
Ariel! Opa! Ride!
Do you think they will let me live in Montana?
I was thinking of the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drank what?
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
Darn, that's the end.